Radio Malassia.
News break. This month's news in the Republic of Malassia.
Visit to a disaster area. 22 October 2024. On Friday, 27 September 2024, Hurricane Helene struck western North Carolina as a tropical storm, bringing multiple inches of rain to an already saturated area. The result deluge caused rivers and streams to burst from their banks, flooding communities and in some cases sweeping them en masse downriver to become hazardous debris. The city of Asheville saw a great deal of destruction, with the entire post-industrial arts district turned into rubble. The nearby city of Hendersonville was inundated by floodwaters as much as 10 feet deep. The resort community of Chimney Rock and Lake Lure were obliterated by the flooding, which drowned over 230 people throughout the region in its might. Power and water services were seriously damaged, and rescue services were deployed from all around the region to save lives and property from the deadly floods. From 18 to 21 October, His Excellency the President and the First Lady visited the area of flooding in western North Carolina. The overall purpose was to ensure that Malassian citizens Tom and Penny Baugh, expatriates of our nation that live in that area, were safe and doing well in the aftermath of the disaster. The first couple toured the disaster area, witnessing the devastation firsthand. Fortunately, the Malassian residents of the area came through the catastrophe well, having prepared in advance with food, water, and other supplies. Nevertheless, the rest of the region fared less well, and it will be a long time until the destruction is remediated and life returns to normal in the valleys and communities devastated by this tragic disaster. In other news, General Lissimo Francisco Franco is still dead. 2024 Nevada Day, 26 October 2024. On 26 October 2024, His Excellency the President and the First Lady, accompanied by first grandson Bradley, participated in the annual Nevada Day event. Located in Carson City, Nevada, this event celebrates the anniversary of the admission for Nevada as a state. Nevada was admitted to the Union on 31 October 1864. At that time, the state was a significant producer of silver and gold, and therefore played a major role in financing the Union war effort during the United States Civil War. Nevada's admission as a state helped not only to pay for the war, but to ensure a northern majority in Congress afterward. The annual Nevada Day celebration includes a Nevada Day parade as well as a number of other events. The parade is the showpiece of the day and includes Nevada dignitaries, as well as businesses and organizations, and of course our President and First Lady. The parade route stretches for about 1.2 Imperial Nortons through the middle of Carson City, the state capital of Nevada. Along the route, several reviewing stands are set up, with announcers introducing each parade entry. As years go by, the announcers get better at pronouncing the name of our nation correctly. As the president passed, the spectators called out, recognizing and applauding the first couple. Malassia is increasingly well known and appreciated among the local residents as a sovereign nation right down the road from them inside their own state. Eventually, the parade ended, and after attending a few other Nevada Day-related events, the first couple returned to Malassia. A fine time was had by all, and as always, we look forward to next year's Nevada Day.
What are you up to, Norm? My ideal weight if I were 11 feet tall.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, through my clothes, and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair, and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I'd smoked my mind the night before with cigarettes and songs I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small kid playing with a can that he was kicking. Then I walked across the street and caught the Sunday smell of someone's frying chicken. And Lord, it took me back to something that I lost somewhere, somehow along the way. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. 'Cause there's something in a Sunday that makes a body feel alone. And there's nothing sure to die in that's half as lonesome as the sound of the sleeping city sidewalk and Sunday morning coming down. In the park I saw a daddy with a laughing little girl that he was swinging. And I stopped beside a Sunday school and listened to the song they were singing. Then I headed down the street and somewhere far away a lonely bell was ringing. And it echoed through the canyons like a disappearing dream of yesterday. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. 'Cause there's something in a Sunday that makes a body feel alone. And there's nothing sure to dying that's half as lonesome as the sound of the sleeping city sidewalk and Sunday morning coming down.
Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I think so, Brain.
Not.
But don't camels spit a lot?
Strange Adventures.
Buck Slade sat upon his bench on the stern of the cable repair ship. In the distance, the white buildings of Miami gleamed in the warm sunlight. He wished he could be ashore now instead of getting ready to slip beneath the water to locate a break in the telephone cable that stretched along the bottom. Buck hated the sea with an inborn venom that he didn't try to explain. He had become a diver for the purpose of vengefully taking from the sea that which it had claimed for itself. His dresser made the final adjustments upon the diver suit. The metal helmet was placed over his head and the butterfly nuts that secured it were screwed tight. He climbed over the side onto the diving platform and slipped beneath the surface of the water. As he followed the cable, he noticed a strange, bulky mass looming dimly through the misty green of the sea. He stopped short. The storm that had parted the cable had shifted the sands, uncovering the shell and weed-encrusted wreck of the Spanish galleon. He tore away the tangled weeds from the timbers and crawled between the massive ribs of the hull. He dug away at the sand and found tiers of square metal bars. He scratched some of them with his knife, revealing the bright gleam of silver. By mere chance, he had discovered a treasure worth millions, and he alone knew the location. Convinced that as long as he told no one of his find, the treasure would remain here until he could salvage it, then he went to work repairing the broken cable. From that day on, Buck began saving his money. Every cent he could grasp, he put aside. Finally, after 2 years of scrimping, he had enough to start salvage operations. He hired the necessary help and chartered a barge, mooring it over the wreck. Tensely, Buck donned his diving suit and dropped to the bottom. His heart skipped a few beats as he looked around. There, exactly as he left it, was the ancient galleon. Carefully, he groped his way through the gaping hole in the ship. His hands reached out and touched the bars of silver. Suddenly, the voice of Sambo came to him over the telephone.
Hey, you better come up quick now, Mr. Slade. Sea's getting heavy. Big storm coming.
Just a minute. You can haul me up.
A minute be too late. Tornadoes are just churning up this bay. It takes a lot of luck to get you up now, sir.
Buck Slade felt his lifeline grow taut as the storm rolled the salvage barge above him. After the storm had passed, Buck returned to the spot to reclaim the sunken treasure. Hurriedly, he descended to the bottom of the bay, but the terrific seas churned by the hurricane had changed the topography of the bottom and reburied the treasure ship, just as the storm had uncovered it for Buck 2 years before. The sea, as if in revenge, had reclaimed its own from the very fingertips of one who would steal the treasure in its care. This is Pat McGeehan in Hollywood, California, saying goodbye from my writer, Charles Crowder, and inviting you to listen to The Suspect, our next tale of Strange Adventures.
Take the ribbon from my hair, shake it loose and let it fall, laying soft against your skin like the shadows on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning light. All I'm taking is your time, help me make it through the night. I don't care what's right or wrong, I won't try to understand. Let the devil take tomorrow. Help you make it through the night. And it's sad to be alone. Help me make it through the night. I don't want to be alone. Help me make it through the night.
You're listening to Radio Molossia.
Truth is stranger than fiction. This is the truth. This is Ripley. Believe it or not.
Married men in the Akela tribe in Africa always cut their meat into small chunks with a knife held between their toes because before their wedding, they were required to knock out all their own teeth. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the man who bit a crocodile.
The allure of the South Seas beckons in Molossia's Tiki Hut, Bar and Grill. Make us your island port of call for burgers, drinks, and more.
There have been many stories told about an instance when a man bites a dog. However, I don't think you'll hear many about a man who bites a crocodile. When this man named Hannock was seized by a huge crocodile while swimming in the Kafue River in northern Rhodesia, he decided to bite back. He clamped his teeth on the tip of the reptile's tail, forcing the crocodile to release him and retreat into deep water. Although Hannock himself had been severely bitten, he recovered in the hospital at Lusaka. Believe it or not.
Don't worry, I'm not making the same mistakes again.
No, you're making all new ones.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train.
and I see the news faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I sang soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers clapping time, I told Bobby's hand to mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Me and my Bobby, yeah. From the Kentucky coal mine to the California sun, hey, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything that we've done, your Bobby, baby, kept me from the cold world.
Radio Malasia.